Now, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2. We've been in Luke chapter 2 over this Christmas period, and we've read a little bit more each time. And so I'm going to read now from verse 1 down to verse 20. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, the theme for today, the theme this morning, was the shepherds simply seeing what God had done. And so the theme for the day is see and ponder. And so this evening, we're looking specifically at verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, where Mary treasures up all these things and ponders them in her heart. So we have, in a nutshell, really, in Luke chapter 2, the narrative telling us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very well understated, isn't it? You know, nothing spectacular. It's not like a sort of Daily Mirror reporter reporting something with all the hyperboles and the spectacular things. It's just very plainly stated. And we've seen so far the angelic announcement, this announcement that today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And we've seen something of the shepherds' reaction this morning, that they went to see these things that had come to pass. And people react to messages in different ways. And the shepherds reacted by glorifying God, praising God, and going everywhere, spreading the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So they were busy about going about the business. Anybody who'd listen, basically, and all the friends, they were telling, this is just the most amazing things, and they told people about their experience. Now, Mary reacts in quite a different way, because we're all different personalities, aren't we? And so that's understandable how people react to this tremendous news about the coming of a saviour. So we're going to think a little bit about Mary tonight. And I have to confess that perhaps we don't give Mary the credit that's due to her. Mary is an incredible believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think perhaps we underrate her a bit because over the years, there are certain traditions. I mean, the Roman Catholic tradition, of course, particularly, really has exalted Mary. Now, the reason they've done that is that the authority of the Roman Catholic Church is not just the scripture we have, the 66 of the books of the Bible. They also believe the Apocrypha, a few more books, and then they have the Pope, of course, who announces certain things and he has to be obeyed if you're a Roman Catholic. And they also have a tradition. And so a lot of things are built up over the years. So bearing that in mind, then they have all sorts of views about Mary and they exalt her so that some people actually worship her. But many people actually pray through Mary. And they use the famous rosary beads, of course. The rosary beads, Hail Mary, the famous Hail Mary, is a prayer to Mary. Now, people who only believe in the Bible and say, well, hang on a minute, we don't go with all the tradition, right? We don't go with all this extra stuff that you've got. We just want to see if it's in the Bible or not. So Protestants, in other words, they come to the Bible and sometimes we can swing to the other extreme. And because there are some people who have exalted Mary so high, they even worship her, we sort of say, whoa, whoa, we don't want to go there. We just worship God. Okay. And so we don't want to be a part of that. And sometimes you can overreact. And I think sometimes as well, that creates the problem that perhaps we don't really appreciate Mary as we should, because she's just a fantastic believer. She's just this woman who had this brilliant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it was her son. So let's have a look at this young girl, because that's what she was. People in those days, in the Jewish community, you became an adult when you were 12 years old. So that's when you got adult responsibility, okay? You were only a kid when you were 11. But when you were 12, you're an adult. Now, that tells something about our society, doesn't it? But that's the way it was. And so it wasn't unusual in those days for girls to get married at 14 and to start a family. Now, we don't know the exact age of Joseph and Mary, but the assumption can be made that when we're talking about young, we're talking about young. We're not just talking about somebody getting married in the mid-30s or something like that. And so we've got this young girl who was poor. Now, we know that Joseph and Mary were poor because when they went with Jesus, the little baby Jesus, when they went to the temple after 6 weeks to make sacrifices and to thank God for the birth, then the sacrifice that they offered was a sacrifice which was a provision for poor people. Okay, so if they'd have had some money, they'd have offered one type of sacrifice, but because they were poor people, then they offered the poor person's sacrifice. So we know that about them as well. But there's other things we can pick up about Mary. And I want to mention just a few briefly this evening. In Luke chapter 1, we see here her lovely faith. So we've got Mary as an example of real faith. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Now, this is where Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she's going to give birth to a son and you are going to give him the name Jesus. And he describes that this son will be very great. And then in verse 34, Mary says, well, how will this be since I am a virgin? And so this was just an incredible puzzle, as you can understand, to Mary. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, that's what the angel had told her. Now, that's an incredible amount to take in, isn't it? And I recognise that we live, well, I say we live in an age where people will be incredibly sceptical about a story like this, but that's always been the case. But for somebody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a sort of succession. We don't just believe in Jesus like we used to believe in Santa. There is a solid foundation. And if you like, the great crucial question about Jesus, when we're thinking about Jesus, is the resurrection. Because that's what Jesus said would be the sign for all generations to know that he really was who he said he was, the Son of God, that he'd come to save people from their sins. And when you look at the resurrection, you can look at all the historical evidence for the resurrection. And I use that word purposely, evidence, because the evidence of the resurrection is sort of fantastic, really, when you think about it. And you think, wow, yeah. When you look at the alternatives, what else could have happened? And you see that this man really did come back to life. And so a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ because he overcame death. Now, when you believe in Jesus and when you recognize that God is real, not just a figment of our imagination, and God can do anything, and he says nothing is impossible with God, then a virgin birth, frankly, is no big deal. If God wants to do that, it's not impossible, because even at the announcement to Mary, this message was given, and it came with this assurance that nothing is impossible with God. Now, it seems impossible to us, but it's not if God really is God. Nothing's impossible to him. And so that is what was told her. Now, how did Mary react to that? She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, that's a sensational statement, because there were all sorts of problems. Now, whether they immediately flooded into Mary's mind or not, we don't know. But this was in a day, it would be bad enough really today. But you just imagine it 50 years ago, or you just imagine it 2,000 years ago in that kind of society, where a woman who's not married is expecting a baby. What's that going to cause? Well, as soon as Joseph heard about it, he had a mind to quietly put her away, because he was a righteous man and he didn't want to make a big deal about it. And so he didn't want to embarrass her or put her to shame. He obviously still had a love for her, but how could he ever marry a girl who's pregnant? He knew he wasn't the father. And so he was thinking of putting Mary away. And thankfully, the Lord made it clear to him how special this child was and that it was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But Mary, at this point, she would really have all these problems. What would Joseph say? There's no way they'd still want to marry her. She didn't know that God would make it clear to Joseph as well. And then there was the problem of the shame. People would reject her as a pregnant girl who's not in marriage. And even from the Old Testament, what they used to do there, it wasn't always implemented, but the law was that an adulteress should be stoned to death. That was the culture. And so she's been told by an angel, okay, you're not married, but you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. Call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins, was told to Joseph. But some information was given to her, and you would think the turmoil, the massive upset in her life, when really as a young girl she had this lovely future, and then suddenly it's all chaos. And yet her reaction is fantastic. Her reaction is, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, this was a girl who listened to what God said and believed it implicitly, whatever the consequences were. Now, that's faith. That's fantastic faith. On Wednesday nights, we're going through Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is a list, a whole list of people who through the ages have believed God. Now, our problem, and I include myself in this, you listen to what God has to say. And what God says in the scriptures just makes fabulous sense. It really brings meaning into life. All he's ever asked us to do is love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and might. Love our neighbours as ourselves. He explains why the world is as it is, with all its sadness and all the rest of it, and it's because human beings, right from the word go, right from Adam and Eve, wanted to be as God is, to take control, to make their own decisions, to not listen to God, to do their own thing, to do what they want to do. And that's why the world's in chaos. And so when God speaks, it's so contradictory to what is expected in this world, then we like to sort of weigh things up and edge our bets. Well, I know God wants us to do this, but if I do completely what God wants me to do, there will be consequences, and I don't quite like the consequences. And Mary was in that kind of situation. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have a baby. And she simply says, well, here I am, and I'm a servant. She had a servant spirit. Now, that's something for us to really desire. Lord, I believe that you are God, that you're in complete and sovereign control, that you've loved me from eternity. I believe that you want the very, very best for me. So you are going to tell me what to do, step by step. Now, a lot of what you tell me to do will absolutely contradict what I might think, or certainly what the world thinks. But if I'm your servant, I'm going to listen to you and obey you. That's commitment, isn't it? Now, that was there, right at the start with Mary. Just fabulous example to us. And may it be to me, as you have said, there was that submissive willingness, that servant's heart. So she's a real example to us there. And this comes out in a song of praise. Sometimes this is referred to as the Magnificat. That's in chapter 1 of Luke as well. And it's Mary's song. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And what she does in a song, she just exalts God and says how great God is. So no questioning of God. No arguing with God, just absolutely exalting him, saying God is absolutely great and he has taken notice of me, and her humility just shines through. Why me? Why should he bother with me? But he has. And so it's this wonderful exaltation of God, seeing her own humility. And then what she does is she brings out in the Magnificat, we won't go through it all, but she brings out God is just and merciful to those who fear him, and he scatters the proud. So she describes how God works. And then she sees the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham all those years ago. She says he's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now, that was a promise that was given to Abraham right at the beginning of the story, where God chose Abraham out of all the people on the earth and said, from you, okay, from your children's children's children, children, eventually from your descendants will come one who will be the Savior. And Mary got it. She recognized it. Now, she didn't understand everything, but she expresses a fullness of joy and faith, whatever the consequences would be. And so in Luke 2, verse 19, this is where the shepherds have come and they've seen Joseph and Mary. They've told them all that the angel said to them. That's why they're there. We haven't just turned up. The angels appeared to us and told us, this is what the angels said to us. And so the shepherds were buzzing and spreading the word concerning all that they'd heard. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And as I say, she didn't fully understand everything that was going on. 6 weeks later, when they presented Jesus as a baby in the temple, they met a guy called Simeon. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And that tells us that they were just a bit awestruck. You know, when something happens and you can't take it in, that was clearly happening to Joseph and Mary at this time. So I'm not suggesting she understood everything, but what she was doing, she was treasuring it up. Okay. So she was observing. And that's what we've been doing all day, really. We haven't had a load of commands. This is what God wants you to do today. Do this, do that. We've just said, this is what God's saying. Just watch this. Watch what I'm doing. Observe what I'm doing. And there's the birth of this son. And Mary has got this close-up view of what God's plan is. And all she's doing at this point is just treasuring these things, taking it on board, absolutely thinking about what the shepherds have been saying. And that word treasuring, it's a lovely word to use, isn't it? Because Jesus later on, when he grows up and starts preaching, in Matthew 6 and verse 19, this is one of the things he taught, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Well, we know all about that, don't we? But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's true, isn't it? That's true. Our heart, that's the phrase that the Bible uses, the heart, the center of the human being, which really motivates. That's the seat. That's the real you inside. That's what you're really set on. And what Jesus is saying here, wherever your treasure is, whatever you think is treasure, the thing that you really want, your heart is going to be set on that. Okay? So if a guy's set on getting rich, it will affect every decision he makes. He's just got his mind on that. If a guy's set on an education, or if a guy's whatever we're set on, then that's the direction we're going in. Now, Jesus said, right, what's your treasure? Now, what Mary was doing, she was storing up this treasure in her heart. She treasured these things. That was her treasure. All the thoughts that were coming now, all the information that the shepherds were bringing, all about the Lord Jesus Christ, she was in awe of this. It wasn't her job to go rushing out and telling everybody about it. The shepherds were out doing that. She was just taking it all in. She was just seeping it all in. And she treasured that in her heart. And that's what she was doing, pondering on these things and treasuring them. Now, that's a great example to us, because the Lord Jesus to her was a treasure. Now, we know that's understandable, any mother who has a child, okay? And it's a funny thing about children, isn't it? Children, they might not be very attractive, especially to fellows, perhaps. If just a child, you know, okay, that's great. But if it's your child, and you've got that special bond and the affection of your grandchild, and so on, so there's that natural affection, of course there is, of a mother and child. But what she's doing, if she's treasuring all these things and she's looking to Jesus, I suggest to you, even at this stage, not just as a mother, but as a disciple. And she's a bit like Mary. You might remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus, they were friends of Jesus, Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and Jesus went there once. And Martha complained because Jesus was teaching and Mary, her sister, was sitting down in front of her, in front of him. And Martha had loads of things to do, as women always have, especially when there's people round. And so Martha was busying herself, getting loads of stuff ready, getting more and more annoyed, until finally she can't stand it anymore. She goes to Jesus to say, "Are you bothered? Look at my sister. All she's done is sit there and listen to you, and I've got tons of stuff to do." And Jesus' reply was, "Martha, you're fretting about so many things. All sorts of things are bothering you. But Mary's chosen the best thing to do. Just to be at the feet of Jesus and to listen to him." And it's a shifting of priorities. And Mary's a great example, that Mary, the mother of Jesus here, is a great example to give the priorities that she just pondered and thought these things through. And that's a lovely thing to do. It's something that nowadays is really neglected, Christian meditation. And I say Christian meditation because if you mention meditation nowadays, people think of Eastern religions. Okay, I'm sort of doing different types of meditation. But there is a meditation which is just using your mind and thinking and just appreciating how great and wonderful God is. And then lastly, this commitment that that Mary is showing here about treasuring up all these things and pondering upon them. This was a lifelong commitment. Now, I missed the Queen's speech today. I don't know how I managed that, but I missed it. Jill told me a bit about it. But it just occurred to me when thinking about this that it was pretty impressive when the Queen, as a young girl, basically, became Queen. She promised to be a servant to everybody, didn't she? Now, if I make a comment on the Queen herself as a person, I'm not doing this as a royalist or a republican. I'm talking about her as a person. And it was pretty impressive that her as a person was able, such a young age, to say, I'm committed to serving the people. But it's even more impressive over 60 years later when she's still doing it. That's really impressive, isn't it? It's one thing to start off well, but it's another thing to just keep going. Now, the thing about Mary was that she just kept going. In a commitment, not only as Jesus' mother, but also really in learning and pondering and treasuring up these things, even though she knew that it would be difficult. Simeon, 6 weeks after Jesus' birth, told her that. He was prophesying concerning the Lord Jesus, and he said, a sword will pierce your own soul too. So she knew that it would be a heartache as well as joy being the mother of Jesus. And it seems fitting that when Jesus began his ministry, then the very first miracle he did was turning water into wine. And they were in Cana and they were at a wedding. And at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And it seems fitting that it was his mother that actually went to Jesus and said, they have no more wine. Now, eventually, Jesus turned water into wine. But that's what triggered that miracle, his own mother. And very clearly from that, then Mary, in pondering, in treasuring up all these things in her heart, she, remembering what the angels had said, remembering what the shepherds had said, and observing the Lord Jesus through his youth and so on, there was that expectation that he would do something. And of course he did. It was his first miracle when the disciples really started to believe in him and think, this man must be who he says he is. And then bit by bit, Jesus convinced them that he was Emmanuel, that he was God visiting this place. How would he start convincing people of that? He would have to work miracles. And when he came back from the dead, it absolutely confirmed it. So this was her conviction throughout her life. And she pops up occasionally in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But she's there right at the end. She's there at the cross. She stood next to John. And that speaks volumes. Because for a mother to watch a son being crucified, to cry out in absolute agony as he dies in the place of sinners, she's there. That's fantastic commitment. Next to John, Jesus' best friend and the disciple. And she's there. And of course, the Lord provides for her for a future. Joseph obviously long since died. But John is there to provide for her after Jesus passes on and then is resurrected. And then in Acts chapter 1, the last mention of Mary is in Acts chapter 1 after Jesus has ascended. And you've got all the disciples going back to Jerusalem. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And there were a whole host of people. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. All the disciples were there. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. She was there right at the end. And so this lovely faith that this young girl had to see, to express to the angel that she had this servant spirit. There's so much we can learn from this woman. We don't want to worship her. We don't want to pray to her. Why do we want to do that? We got Jesus. But what we do want to do is recognize what a fantastic woman she was and what amazing faith she had. Just a simple faith that, Lord,
whatever you've got for me, bring it on. I'm ready. And if we can have a spirit like that, then we've got an exciting 2017, haven't we?